We've just recently talked about our values, haven't we? And you're going to see a few of those values coming up. But the first two priorities that I have for you today in prayer are praying out of relationship and praying in worship. See, sometimes people say to me, Steve, if I could just have an idea of what your priorities are at the moment, I could be praying into them. Well, here are two of them. I really believe that we need to pray into our relationship with God as an individual and as a corporate church. We really need to pray. The relationship that we have with God is so critical. It's so wonderful. I just believe that nothing... We've always said as a church that we'll do nothing unless it's out of relationship. I actually now believe that nothing really comes about without relationship with God. You know, if all we're doing is coming along and, amen, you know, and just making a bit of noise and looking miserable, I mean, you can go to the dentist and look miserable. The trouble is, sometimes, when there was a church that was next to a dentist's, and sometimes you couldn't tell where people were coming out of because they both looked rough. You know, I just want to say to you today, having a relationship with God is so important, and we need to really be praying about our relationship. Talk to God and say, God, I just want us to be closer. I want us to be closer than we've been for a while. Will you help me with this? Pray into that. And some of that is helped when we worship God. And some of our praying needs to be expressing in worship to God our Father how great he is. And if you say to me, well, Stephen, it's all well and good you having these ideas about what's a priority in prayer, but I think these are not new. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, relationship, hallowed be your name, worship. Right? It's not rocket science. Or I have a friend who's a brain surgeon, and he said to me when I first met him and said, so you're a brain surgeon? He says, yeah, well, at least it's not rocket science. Because there's this famous joke which you can watch on YouTube anytime, but it used to be a thing we had to wait for it to come up on the television. This party where these two men turn up, and one of them's a rocket scientist and the other is a brain surgeon, and all the time, you know, one's saying to the other, well, it's not like it's brain surgery, and the other one's saying, well, it's not like it's rocket science. But this is not either of those two things, because Jesus told us to pray this way. Yeah. And it's simply straightforward. Our prayer should be to our Father, not to some holy God who's Zeus-like, that's got a lightning bolt in his hand, that is just ready to knock 10 bells out of you, but to Dad, to Abba, to Father. We need to be in relationship with Father, and our prayer needs to be to him, and our worship as well. Now look, if you say to me, well, Stephen, I want something a little bit more substantial than that to pray for. Right, I want you to pray for revival and renewal.
Yeah.
We need the Holy Spirit to be active in our local church, and we need for this to happen all over the city. We need to see the power of God come in the church today, powerfully, really, and I want you to pray this every time before you come to church. Yeah, I said before. You can do it while you're here, but it makes much more effect if you've already been started praying that before you've arrived. Let's pray for revival and renewal. It's such a great thing to have heard this from Hollybush Camp this week, to have heard that God's really turned up. You know, Jim Wilkinson's 92. 92 years old, and he's still stood there as part of the Wilkinsons, because it is now the Wilkinsons that lead it. Joanna, his daughter, is now sort of leading from the front, and it's absolutely great to see it. But God turned up, And we just need God to turn up for us. Do you know what? You don't have to go to Hollybush to meet with Jesus. You don't have to go to the Revive camp in down south with Ichthus. You don't have to go any of these places. You can meet with God here. Well, you just have to have a bit of expectancy in your heart, and it needs to be your prayer. God, will you revive me? You see, we used to sing a song, which I just can't remember at the moment, and if I could remember the first line, June would tell me the rest. But it's all about, Lord, send a worldwide revival and begin it in me. And you know what? Those words have always stuck with me, even though I first sang that in about 1968 or something like that. It's an old redemption hymnal hymn. But you know, we need to have that Pentecostal revival. We need a new revival in our city, in our nation, but it needs to begin in me.
Yes.
You need to have a revival. You know, this year I've been praying for revival all year, and I have had a personal revival. I have felt it. I have felt the heavens have been open to my prayers. I've really felt that God has been moving in my life. I've had real God moments. And do you know what? If I'm getting it, it's going to spread. And we just need to all be revived and renewed. It's wonderful. Somebody was talking to me recently about the Welsh revival. Well, that's fine, but it's history.
Yeah.
It is history, people. Yes, it's wonderful to read about it and what went off, but it's history. What we need is nowity. Yeah. Is that a word? If not, let's just write to the Oxford English Dictionary and tell them we need it. We need God to move now. We need a freshness, a renewal and a revival. And that is what we ought to be praying for. And you say, well, that was good, Stephen. You had the Lord's Prayer for the last bit. Well, what do you think your kingdom come, your will be done means? What on earth do you think it means? Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other seas and the big oceans as well as the seas. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you.
Yeah.
He then told us to pray that the kingdom of God would come. The kingdom of God comes when miracles and healings and the casting out of demons and the real touch of God is on people. When God is setting people free from what binds them. That's when the kingdom of God comes. That's why we need to pray for revival and renewal. It just makes sense. This is the Lord's Prayer. If you can't grasp that as being a valid way of praying, then we have a little bit of a problem, don't we? Let's pray for revival and renewal. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes, we're doing it. We're getting there. Kingdom come, God. God, let your kingdom come amongst us. Your will be done. Provision. You know what's going to come after this, don't you? Now, somewhere up there is a courgette that Cameron brought in. Yeah, there it is. I can see it now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there we are. Look, courgettes. I knew there was some. Now, I was reading recently about the Israelites after they left Egypt. For 40 years... every single day, Nigel drew up outside their tents with a bread delivery. It was as supernatural as that would have been. Every day, there was bread outside. There was manna. He said, what on earth is this? Which, being translated, is manna. What on earth is this? And it's absolutely amazing. But it continued until the day they entered the promised land. I think that's astonishing. There's no way you can explain that. It fed 3 million people every day.
Yeah.
This is not a mean thing. This is a powerful thing. And we too can have enough. Incidentally, they never had too much. They never had anything left for the following day. If they did have anything left for the following day, then it got maggots in it, which I don't know about you, but personally, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm not fond, you know. There's some people eating locusts now, and I'm quite happy with chicken. And I also like Bill, echoed the pleasure of the salad last week at Karen's. It was delicious. But you know what? We need to pray that God will provide. Now, I know these are not easy times in our land. Bills are going up and food bank use is increasing. And believe me, where I have my office now, they have a food bank downstairs on a Wednesday. And boy, that's the busiest day of the week. You just see people coming and going away with bag loads of food. Thank God that the church can do that. I really rejoice in that. Do you know when people go on the TV moaning about food banks, I want to say, shut up! Thank God instead. Thank God that the church is providing for the world. It's good. It's good. But if you take the first three letters of provision, what do you have?
Vision.
And for vision to be accomplished, we need provision. Providing for the vision. And do you know what? We need to see so much happening in our city, and there's so much need. We need provision. We need people who will be able to dip deep into their pockets and say, here's £1 million for that project. Here's £3 million for that project. We need some of those people.
Yep.
And we need more people who will say, well, I'll put 10,000 into that. Now listen, this is not an appeal for money. You know I don't do that. But we do need to pray provision for the vision of the church. And we really need to see some of it happening. You know, I am thanking God so much for the kindness of Living Word Church down the road in renting us an office at bottom rate price that is so big and glorious. And I am now ready to take visitors, incidentally. If you want to come and have a look at the new office, you're very, very welcome. But let me tell you this. The kindness of other Christians is great, but it would be good if we could be kind to others as well, and that all we need is a bit of provision for the vision. And I want you to pray at the moment about our Methodist relationship, because it's getting taxed again. Just pray that God will sort us out for this winter. That we'll know exactly what's going to happen, okay? But we just need provision for the vision, yeah? Mm-hmm. And we need to have a place where, in an ideal world, that we can invite people in, we can cook for them, we can do all sorts of stuff for them. We ideally need that place. And may God provide provision for vision, yeah?
Yeah.
And you know what the next one's going to be. Give us this day our daily bread. It's all there in the ultimate pattern for prayer. These should be our priorities. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Repentance. Repentance, as you'll see from that picture, simply means to turn around. We need to pray for a turnaround in our nation. Somebody said to me recently, our nation has never had such an unrepentant government.
Yeah.
Now, it's cost the Prime Minister his job, but the truth is that the example given to our nation is you can lie out of your back teeth and just pretend it didn't happen. Mm. And I'm not saying that the Prime Minister invented that, because it's wherever you look. But we need to see a turning around in our nation, that lying is no good. We need to have a turnaround to repentance. And please don't think it's just the Tories, because Labour are just as big liars. The fact is, I see this terribly amongst politicians. And what we really need is a revival and renewal amongst our politicians. Yes. We need people who want to really see the kingdom of God come in our nation. Now, repentance is something that we need to model. And I would suggest to you, when you're praying about repentance, pray, God, will you make me a model of repentance? I don't think there's anything wrong with being someone who is quick to repent. I think that's an admirable trait. And we should be people who are quick to repent. I don't mean you should always be coming up here and saying, well, this week I sinned, and what I did was this, but I've repented. Don't really need to hear that. But modelling in our lives what repentance looks like, now that we do need to see. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Do you know what's on the next screen? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So important that we forgive. When we're modelling repentance, we also need to model forgiveness. And listen to me now. I don't care what they did to you. We need to model forgiveness. You might say, I can't do it, Stephen. I can't forgive them. Well, you still have to do, because Jesus says, if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. This week, it's 19 years since we left the church we were in before. We were treated abysmally and disgustingly. And they did it to a lot of people. But I have had to forgive. I've had to do. Because I want to be forgiven. Do you know, there are people out there who are lying, cheats, deceitful people, people who are sinning sexually, sinning morally, sinning financially with the people, with the money of the church, and they're getting away scot-free, and occasionally we see it on the Christian magazine and we think, oh, that's terrible, isn't it? You know, it happens around us. We have had at least two churches who have done things like that in the city of York in recent years. And thank God for one voice where we've all been honest with each other and people have stood together and cast these people out. Because the truth is, we need integrity and honesty and purity and holiness in the church. And but we've still got to forgive them. Yeah. It's no good saying, well, I will never forgive that man. I will never forgive that woman. You know what? We have to do. So let's get on with forgiving. Now, I had Graham, I struggle not to say Bill then. I had Graham read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 today, because that's when it talks about the return of the Lord Jesus. And I've been challenged this week that all of these priorities that I have to pray for, that this had maybe slipped off my priority list. Our Ariel said something to me this week about, well, maybe Jesus will return before that. And when she said it, there was a little bit of a joke in what she was saying, but it really hit home to me. You know, we need to be praying for the return of Jesus. So important. Why? Because there will be a grand accounting happening. Everything will be put right. You worry about this planet and the state it's getting in, at the grand accounting, everything will be put right. We will see the touch of God in our world and in the world to come dramatically and powerfully. And it all starts with the blowing of a trumpet and the opening of the heavens and Jesus coming out of the clouds. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's wonderful. Jesus is returning. Jesus is returning. When John wrote in his revelation, "Come quickly," he was expecting Jesus to return very quickly. When Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, which was either the first or the second book ever written in the New Testament, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, bit of argument as to which it was, but 1 Thessalonians could well have been the very first bit of scripture that the church added to the scriptures. And right there, Paul says, hang on a minute, let me put you square on the return of Jesus. This is what's going to happen. And the last bit of the scriptures that was ever written, about 30, 40 years later, Revelation, John ends it with, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." Those men of God, they really believed that Jesus was going to come almost straight away. 2,000 years have passed, and I'm just suggesting to you that we have lost that expectation. We need to get it back, people. We need to be looking up to the clouds. Now, Ariel and I, we have a thing. We go out and have a look when there's a nice sunset. And we enjoy looking in the sky. And sometimes you see clouds like that. A cloud that's orange and yellow. And it's maybe got green in it and purple. And it's all the sun coming through it as its sun is setting. It's absolutely amazing sight. I marvel every time I see those things. But you know what? One day, it's not going to be the sun setting. It's going to be the sun rising with healing in his wings. And that's what we're going to see bursting out. And it doesn't matter where you are on this planet, you will see him. People, we need an expectation in our hearts of the return of Jesus. And we need to be praying. Revelation tells us this, that until the church is praying, "Even so, come Lord Jesus," he ain't coming.
Yeah, that's right.
So we need to pray. We need to pray. We pray so many things and God delivers us and sets us free. The prayer that we put into your life, Richard, this year. You know, we've been praying for you and look what God's done. It's wonderful. We've been praying for JT and look at him. He doesn't look bad, does he? Not for a 45-year-old. He doesn't look bad at all. You know what? God is so good to us. We now need to be praying that Jesus comes back.
Yes.
Are you with me? Now you might say, "But I wanted to get my garden finished." Shame on you. Let's pray that Jesus returns. And you might get your garden finished, but let's pray that he comes back. Both the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And anyone who hears should say, "Come." This should be, who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So John is saying the Holy Spirit is praying, "Come back, Jesus." And anyone who hears should say, "Come." Who's that?
Us.
We should be praying, "Come." And he who testifies about these things. And this, of course, if you read the first few verses of Revelation, it's Jesus who is testifying about these things. So Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." And our response to that should be, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." So let me encourage you today, let this be our prayer. "Amen, come Lord Jesus." It'll make all the difference in the world. Let me tell you what, you won't have to worry about paying your lecky bill this Christmas. You really won't, because Jesus can come back and all accounts will be settled. They really will. All accounts will be settled. Let's pray for these things, and let's do it now. Come on. Lord Jesus, we ask you that our relationship with you and our worship to you might be satisfying and pleasurable to you, and God, may it be mighty for us too. We ask you that you might make provision for the vision of the local church. Yes. Provision in York for your churches to do things. Lord, we pray for a fresh pot of money for halves. Lord, we pray for a fresh opportunity to put on a local cafe a facility for people to come in and to, Lord, to help us to work with the isolated. Lord, we ask you that you'll provide for these things. Father, we ask you that you would help us to be a forgiving people. Yes. And God, we pray that you move with models of repentance and that we will be a people who are quick to ask for forgiveness. Lord, we ask you that we might see your hand powerfully and wonderfully amongst us. But God, we're just asking you, will you send back your son? Father, will you send Jesus back? Lord Jesus, will you come? Lord Jesus, will you come? Come in our generation and in our nation. May we experience the return of Jesus. And until then, may your kingdom come. May we see the miraculous. May we see revival and renewal.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, in both ways, we want to see you come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, go with us this week. May we go and pray with these priorities in mind. May we see you in all your glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen.